Welcome to Malcolm Reed's How to Barbecue Right, a podcast where we talk about barbecue, share recipes, and discuss all things delicious. And now, here's your host, Malcolm and Rochelle Reed.
Hey, welcome back to the How to Barbecue Right podcast. I'm your host, Malcolm Reed, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Miss Southern Shell, right across from me, Tyler, over on the boards. Before we get started today, let me tell you about Schwenk Grill Shell. Schwenk Grills is a portable 1,500-degree cooking machine. It uses infrared heat, which is perfect for cooking steaks to perfection in as little or as fast as 3 minutes to cook a whole steak.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. The Schwenk Grill cooks just like those fancy 1,500 grills that the restaurants like Ruth's Chris, the Denver Palm, Morton's, all those fancy places that are cooking those steaks you love, you can cook them right at home. You can cook just about anything from steak, lobster, even pizza with the accessories Schwenk has available. And they're giving our listeners $150 off of a purchase by using the code HowToBBQRight. So we're going to have a link down in the bottom of the description. Check them out. Check out a Schwenk Grill.
And that's S-C-H-Schwenk.
That's right. S-C-H-Schwenk. Is that how you spell it? So, Shell, what's going on today?
We got a little controversy brewing.
What's a controversy?
It's much controversy. It's not real controversy.
I'm fixing to say.
As much controversy as barbecue could really get. Oh.
We're talking to a contest to make controversy?
No. Oh.
What kind of controversy?
Cooking meat on the bone.
Oh, from Greg. Yeah. So I was on the Barbecue Central show last week. And I guess later
you're on the Barbecue Central show once a month,
Tuesday of every month, unless something comes up. And like something kind of came up this week. We cut it short a little bit of my normal segment because we had the Primo Grills people in town. We'll talk about that later. But so I was on Greg's show, but he also has Sam the Cooking Guy, which is a huge. If y'all don't know Sam, I guarantee if you look at YouTube, you know Sam. He's huge on YouTube.
Great. Great cooking
right. Great content. Y'all check him out. But he's a regular on Greg's show, too. I don't know if he's once a month or I'm not sure exactly how often he's on there, but he's on there as much as I am or more. But anyway, they got to talking about.
He knows who you are.
Yeah.
Same with the cooking guy knows who you are.
He said that.
You were a god.
That's stretching it there. That's stretching it a lot. That's stretching it a lot. I'm taking Greg's side there. There is no barbecue gods. There's only one God, and I'm not in that league, nor will I ever be.
But Rimpy says you're wrong.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be the first person to tell me I'm wrong. I've never.
You get told that.
The only way you do something right is just to keep on doing it. So there's no wrong way to do it. But this controversy is about meat on the bone. And I guess there's been proof. I don't know. I hadn't read any studies. I really hadn't looked into it that far.
I did.
But my take. So, and I love cooking meat on a bone. Does it give it more flavor? I don't know. What it does for me, the main thing cooking meat on a bone does is it keeps more moisture in there. Because when you cut something off, you're just cutting more places for it to lose moisture. So when you cook something on the bone, say, a big tomahawk steak, chicken wings, chicken pieces, they seem more juicier when you cook them in a more whole form as you can with the bones intact. I do think that bone heats up, it radiates heat, so stuff cooks well, helps those temperatures. But why would they make bone broth if it didn't make flavor? Why would they use bones and stews and stuff like that if it didn't add flavor? It's got to add something. Bones, I mean, it's got marrow in it. Have you ever ate bone marrow?
Heck yeah.
It's freaking delicious.
It's the best.
Buttery.
It's meat butter.
Meat deliciousness. And does that leach out as it cooks on the bone? It's got to do something. There's got to be some flavor there. So,
Rippy says it does nothing, and all you're doing is paying extra.
All I'm going to say is you're going to get your man card pulled if you go to ordering boneless chicken wings all the time. I'm eating chicken on the bone. You go to a rib joint, order boneless ribs versus ribs on the bone. Now, I get what you're saying. Are you paying for bones in these big showy cuts like a tomahawk steak? Is that tomahawk steak better than a ribeye, same size ribeye? I mean, I don't know. I like bone-in ribeyes. But
you're at a fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
They have a bone-in and they have a regular ribeye.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to order?
I'm going to order I'm not going to order the tomahawk because I'm not paying for it in a restaurant. Yeah. I know that show. But if they've got a bone-in ribeye versus just a regular Delmonico or something like that, I'll probably get the one with the bone in
it. You're getting the one with the
bone. I don't need it to be showy. I don't need it. I mean, bones make a good handle for picking something up.
I'm talking just the bone, you know, meat on the bone.
If there's two ribeye steaks, one's boneless, one's bone-in, which one am I going to go with?
We're not talking tomahawk. Yeah, take that out.
I'm probably going for the bone.
You're going for the bone. Yep.
I want that meat around that bone. You know, I want it
depends.
It all on
am
it.
I eating it at home or am I eating it at in a
yeah,
public?
Yeah, and I get you there. It's just something about picking that meat up and gnawing it off. But
I'm going boneless if we're at a fancy restaurant. Yeah.
But bone-in meat, man, there ain't nothing wrong with it. Do you pay extra for a bone? Yeah, you're paying for that weight. Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. Is it showy like the big tomahawks and things like that? Yeah, but I want my short ribs on a bone. If you had your choice, a big old dino rib, do you want it on the bone or off the bone?
Oh, but we're talking about the cooking process, right?
No, I'm just saying buying it. Like, it's cooked.
Oh, you buy it. Oh, no.
You want a short rib that's off the bone or do you want it on the bone?
No, you want it on the bone.
I want it on the bone. And I have seen this and I don't know how true it is. It's speculation, but a lot of times if you see restaurants that have short ribs and you don't see the bone, probably wouldn't even short rib. It was another piece of that shoulder that they've cut up in the shape of a short rib. So you don't know what it is if it ain't on the bone.
So it's like you got to leave the rabbit foot on a...
Yeah, that's right.
So you know you're buying
a rabbit.
So you know rabbit.
It's a rabbit. Yeah, that ain't some cat running around. You got to leave that paw on it.
So when you're buying meat in the grocery store, you need that bone to know.
You know it ain't a raccoon foot. It's actually a rabbit foot. So where do you stand? What do you think about? What's your take on bone in versus bone out?
Well, I like them both. Like if I'm going to be eating it at home and, you know, can do what I want to do, I want the bone because I like non-meat
off the
bone. Yeah, you like
that extra meat on the bone?
So to take your boneless wing analogy.
Yeah.
Okay, so boneless wings are chicken nuggets. They're chicken breasts, right?
Yeah, they're not wings at all. People think they're eating them.
But what if you took a raw chicken wing and deboned it and fried it? Would it taste different? Do you think it would taste different?
I don't know. I think you're going to lose a lot.
I think you'd lose a lot.
Because it deconstructs it so much when you pull that bone out. I've seen people do chicken wings like that and they'll stuff them with stuff. Or I've seen them pull the little bone out, make lollipops out of that flat.
Yeah.
I don't even think boneless wings would be as good. Because, there ain't a whole lot to the wing anyway. And once you go cutting it up and breaking it loose, I mean, I don't like the lollipop ones as good as I do. Even on a lollipop chicken leg, it dries it out more once you start cutting it loose off that bone. Is it changing the flavor that much? Probably, you probably wouldn't even notice the flavor of it, but it's just what it does to the meat. I think you get a better texture. So when I say texture, that's probably going to be tenderness, you know?
So, you know, I did some research.
Do you think the meat next to the bone is more tender as it cooks?
Oh, 100%.
I think just because it doesn't cook as much.
So, to me, when I get like a bone-in ribeye, the meat around the bone is more rare. Yeah. And I prefer more rare, you know, meat. It's got more flavor. It's juicier. But, okay, so I did some research.
Okay. What did you find in Shell's Learning Corner today?
So, bones are basically three things. You've got that hard calcified bone, the actual bone. Yeah. You got the marrow inside, that delicious nectar of the gods.
And then butter of the gods.
The butter of the gods, yeah. And then you've got connective tissue and fat that are kind of attached. They're kind of what hold the meat, you know,
to the bone. Yeah.
Now, that stuff is, I feel like you get a lot of flavor from that. Yeah. That's what you gnaw off the bone, you know. So to me, that's where you get the flavor. This research that I did said that the marrow probably can't leach out that much. The bone's not going to give it any flavor, but that fat and connective tissue give it some flavor on the outside. The bones don't transfer the flavor, but they help slow the transfer of heat. So the meat surrounding the bone typically tastes juicier, and it makes it seem like it's releasing the marrow, but in truth, it's really because the bone is allowing the meat to cook more evenly. And
as it heats up, it's cooking. I'm with you. I believe all that. I mean, now I will say sometimes some bone-in meat, they sell cheaper than they do bone, meat off the bone.
Like
boneless, skinless chicken thighs is one.
Yeah.
those are way more expensive to buy them boneless, skinless per pound than they are to buy the whole chicken thigh with skin on, bone in. Whole ribeyes. Like when our grocery store runs ribeyes on sale, the bone-in ribeye will be way cheaper than the bone-off ribeye because you're dealing with all that. I mean, they know there's weight loss. You know, you're not getting as much meat when you're buying the bone. There's way more the connective tissue, the fat cap, all that stuff on something that's bone-in, that whole bone-in loin versus that boneless trim loin. So you're paying for them to trim it some. So it's usually a little bit higher. In restaurants, it's sometimes different. Like the bone-in stuff costs more. And I don't know if that's their way of just trying to make a little bit more money off the consumer or what.
Probably.
But I thought, so what got me to talking about this recently was I went in Primo, our local butcher shop here, and Frankie sells all the beef he does, he sells on the bone. He says he pays more for it on the bone. Now, I don't know if that's the fact or not, but he's told me that.
Yeah.
And he says he pays more for it because he wants to sell his meat on the bone because he thinks it tastes better, cooks better, is a better product in the end, cooking it bone in. If you want it boneless, he'll definitely trim it off for you and do whatever you want with the bones.
But he's still selling you
the the meat the way he bought it, you know? So I don't know. Is a big fancy tomahawk worth all that money they get in the restaurant? Probably not.
No.
Go ahead and get the regular ribeye.
Yeah.
Is it going to taste a little bit better with the bone in it? Maybe.
I want Greg to tell me that the meat that he gnaws off a bone is not delicious.
It's not yet. It is.
Tell me that's not the most delicious bite on a pork chop or a steak.
Bone-in pork chops. Bone-in pork chops are way better than bone-off pork chops. Too. They're juicier. You get all that extra meat around the bone. I mean, I don't care if it's a little thin bone-in pork chop. That's what I grew up eating. I always liked them on the little bone.
Part.
Yeah, gnawing it off the bone.
Get them little charge.
Pocket, you get the little pocket where the little T makes a little pocket in them and that little meat in that little pocket.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, does the bone actually give it flavor? I don't know. Probably not. Maybe not.
That'd be hard to prove. But I think it's going to be juicier on the bone.
Do I enjoy the eating process more when it's on the bone? Yes.
It's more dainty off the bone. You can cut and you don't have to pick something up. That's what, I mean, I know some women that don't eat chicken wings because they got bones in them. I was like, that's what makes a chicken wing to me. Will I eat a boneless wing? Heck yeah, I ain't gonna turn it down. But
would you date a girl that was like,
No? If you don't eat chicken wings, that's a deal breaker. Well, what are we gonna have in common? If you want to eat a dick-um chicken wing, right? Am I wrong?
No.
I fell in love with my wife because we went to TGI Fridays and she was like tearing up a thing of, I think it was like roasted red pepper pasta or something like that. And they serve it with a spoon. And I was like, why do they do that? And she's steadily sitting there showing me like, oh, you spin it like this.
Oh,
I was
like
eating it and talking at the same time. Great.
Do you use a spoon when you eat pasta?
Oh, no, I don't. I just had no, that's why I'm saying I had no idea what it was for.
And she
was like, oh, yeah, you just spin it and it just helps you get a little bit more on your fork. And I was like, oh, okay.
I never get it to work. I'm not that coordinated. Put a spoon there and twist that pasta. No, I can get to it faster than that just with that fork.
I just slurp it.
Yeah. I don't care if you don't like blue cheese. I can live with that. Yeah. It's more blue cheese for me. But if you want to sit down and eat some plate of wings with me.
Or if they ask you to peel their crawfish for you. Can you peel my crawfish? Would you peel my crawfish?
Are you still sucking the head? Because I would. Can we leave that in? Is that too? We're still PG, right?
No.
Well, I mean, when you eat crawfish, I don't know if I trust you if you don't suck the head out of a crawfish. I mean, that's some of the best flavor in the thing.
I know. Somebody told me one time, do you know what the gross stuff that's in there? I was like, it's delicious. It's
cooked deliciousness. That's all it is. Yeah. Exactly what it is.
So I do have another controversy. Have you heard about on my TikTok? I've seen a lot of people talking about olive oil and how what you're buying at the store is not necessarily real olive oil. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
I just know there's different, not degrees. What word am I looking for here? Qualities of olive oil. The cheaper stuff, if you're buying the cheap stuff, is it real olive oil? It's probably a blend of some other stuff. And yeah, I'm sure it's made out of olive some kind of way. But is it as good as quality as some of that, extra pressed, double virgin, whatever they call it, olive oil?
Unfiltered.
I don't even know if I've ever had, super expensive olive oil.
I don't know.
I get what they got at Walmart and Kroger. But I know that, what's the brand we like? Bertolli? I don't know how where is it right up there in olive oils?
I didn't go into brand when I was looking into it, but they're saying that 80% of extra virgin olive oil on American shelves is fake.
It's not even olive? Like,
it's blends of vegetable, soybean, palm, and canola.
That's just false advertising right there.
Well, you're going to appreciate this. Do you want to know why?
No, why?
The mafia.
Really? They control the olive oil market? Heck yeah.
It controls.
And we just thought they did gambling.
Yeah, the Italian mafia.
Women.
Running numbers.
Yeah.
They're running oils, baby.
They're running oils.
The Italian mafia controls most olive oil production and the market. They own a third of the olive fields in Italy.
Wow.
So they import low-grade oils from countries like Greece and Spain, and then they label it as EVOO.
Hmm.
And there is a task force that oversees it in
There's
Italy.
There's a quality control task force of olive oil?
Yes.
Man, how do you get that job? What do you do? Just go around checking oil drums?
I guess so.
Pulling it off the shelf and testing the purity of it?
So if you're buying olive oil, you need to make sure that there's a batch date, a bottle date, or a date where the olives were harvested that bottle.
I've never looked for that on a bottle of olive oil.
That's so much to do. Now I got something else to do at the grocery
store. I thought I was eating cleaner by using, the olive oil. I'm still just eating mixed blend.
Yeah, you're just eating vegetable oil.
Is grapeseed oil the same way? Is there like different degrees of grapeseed oil?
I don't know. I'd have to look into that.
That's one I like to use a lot just because it's got a higher smoke point.
But most of the extra virgin olive oil on your market shelves is neither Italian nor virgin.
Huh.
And just a few tips about your olive oil. Don't buy anything in a clear bottle because light can destroy olive oil.
That's why they sell in that green tinted bottle.
Yeah. And glass is less reactive to heat and light, so it keeps it longer. If you're storing it for a long period of time, plastic is fine for short term, but oils go rancid because of exposure to heat, light, and air, and the glass bottles.
How long? So when we buy a bottle of olive oil, what's the shelf life of it? Does it depend on how cool you keep it? And
I don't
stuff,
know. Or? Olive oil.
Because I have had some that's like, ooh, something's wrong with this oil. It's bad.
You know it. It has a smell, like a rancid smell. Olive oils can last 18 to 24 months from the time they're bottled.
I'll use them in that time.
Yeah.
So we pour them up. Like we buy that green plastic bottle and then pour it into a glass. I don't know. It's just like a salad dressing bottle with the little jigger lid on top.
It's just so much easier to
You grab it. Yeah, you can set it on the counter. I guess we shouldn't leave it on the counter because sunlight does come through windows. Maybe you should just always keep it in the little cabinet. But we probably keep our oil, like at our house, and I don't know, Tyler, I don't know where you keep your oil, but we keep it in the little two cabinets above the stove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you think about it, it's probably catching a lot more heat up there in those cabinets and moisture from stuff cooking.
That's true.
I mean, your vent pulls through there. I wonder if that's not the ideal place to keep oils.
Probably not, now that I'm thinking about it.
I mean, that's where we keep all our oil.
It is.
Just because it's right there by where you're cooking,
And our extra salt.
Yeah.
Extra seasoning.
Four or five partial boxes of salts and stuff. And your bouillon cube is probably a terrible place to keep. I just never thought about that, but I might have to go do some rearranging in the kitchen when we get home.
Oh, you're not rearranging.
I'll pull it all down. I'll pull it all down.
We have one of those spinning, revolving cabinet door things.
Yeah.
That's where we keep ours. So it's kind of off to the left of the oven. So it's probably good. But we go through olive oil in my house like crazy.
We do too.
I'd be surprised if a bottle lasts us 2 weeks.
Olive oil and butter. That's what we cook with. And I use both because you can't use all butter because it browns too much. It'll burn when you add some olive oil. But when I'm sautéing, and I don't care. I don't always look for the extra virgin because that stuff's more like the extra virgin one, understand, is better for salads and stuff you're going to eat not heat.
Yeah, not cooking.
Yeah, but when you're cooking with it, I just go for olive oil.
And, we've always tried to recreate where you put a little olive oil and seasonings in a dish and dip your bread in it. And it always tasted, I'm like, this is not as good as it is in the restaurant.
You got to use a better quality olive oil.
We're not using.
That cooking olive oil is probably not the one you want to be serving with bread or making a vinaigrette with.
We need to get a really good fancier. Well, you came up with this idea. You were you pulled the oil off maybe mozzarella's.
Yep.
you pulled the oil from the mozzarella, and that's and we seasoned
it
that
makes
up.
The best bread dipping. You ever use that? Have you seen the little mozzarella balls that come in some kind of oil?
Yep.
That stuff, when you drain it out, because it has all those herbs and seasonings and stuff. It's like marinated mozzarella balls. That's what it is. They usually have them over in the cheese section or the deli. But, man, that's good oil to dip bread in.
We put a little salt and extra pepper in there.
Maybe a drizzle or two of balsamic.
Yeah, and it was as good as anything you get in a restaurant.
That was dang good.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're using. They're not using olive oil. Well, Malcolm, now's a really great time for us to pay some bills real quick.
Let's pay them. The How to Barbecue Right podcast is brought to you by our friends at Primo Grills. Shell, did you know that Primo is the only ceramic grill made right here in the good old USA?
What? Are you telling me that Primo Grills are proudly crafted here in the USA, ensuring top-notch quality and support for local craftsmanship?
I sure am. Plus, Primo Grill not only delivers mouth-watering flavor, but because of their innovative oval design and superior ceramic construction, Primo Grills also gives you a ton of cooking versatility.
Whether you're smoking low and slow or searing a steak to perfection, Primo Grills gives you the consistent heat distribution for mouthwatering results every time.
What she said, y'all. Y'all visit PrimoGrill.com and check them out.
Speaking of Primo Grills, Malk, you had the Primo Grill people down this week.
I did. I had Mike, man, I'm going to mess his name up. Radosovich. I think that's how you say it. Mike Radosovich from Primo Grills. He's also co-owner of Code 3 Spices up there in Collinsville, Illinois, but now he is working with Primo Grills, kind of, I guess, heading up their marketing. And so they were looking, you know, of course, he called me up and wanted to know if I wanted one of those Primo Grills. And I was like, well, yeah, I got one and I got the XL and I've been cooking on it. He said, man, we've got a special. They've been working on this XXL Primo Grill for several years, I think, because I mentioned it to Greg and he said he had heard about it. Wanted to know if I'd say, and I had never seen it. This is the first time I saw it at the smokehouse. I brought, so they wanted to come down to the smokehouse, bring me one, get some footage of showing me that grill, my reaction, maybe cook something on it, all that. So we did that Tuesday. They drove down.
From, and they all stayed at the smokehouse, right?
Everybody stayed at the smokehouse.
How many people?
It was Mike and Peyton, who Peyton is in their, heads up their social with Mike. And then they have, one of their guys, Toby, from he was actually from North Carolina. He drove in. He stayed. And then they had another guy that was a cameraman they hired to come in. So there's four people there. Mikey and Mark came down and helped. We did a dinner for them on Friday. It was delicious. Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
And then I did Greg's show. And then we had some libations at the smokehouse.
Is that why you felt so crappy the next day?
No. I
mean, No. That's not why.
Nothing to do with it, I promise. So the next day, bright and early, the grill showed up, and then they unloaded it, and I went out in the smokehouse, and they brought it out there. It was on this big, man, I wish I would remember the name of the cart. There's a company.
That's not a Primo cart?
No, I think it's a Metalworks, or do you remember the name? Matchworks?
Maybe. Keep talking, and I'll find it.
Yeah, it was like Matchworks or Metalworks or something like that. But they made a custom cart for this new XXL, and it was all put together and everything. That. Yeah. Oh, the cart's slick, man.
The cart's really cool.
Super matchless.
Nice. Matchless. It's a Matchless is the name of the company that made this. And they make all kinds of outdoor grilling cabinets and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I guess they partnered with them, or they had them build that cart.
Like, it was built kind of like almost an office cabinet or something with the latches and the heavy duty metals and stuff.
Seamless drawer. The drawers were smooth. I mean, it has, you know,
the way the drawers rolled and stuff. I mean that in a really good way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was heavy duty. It wasn't like, normally when I think of a ceramic grill cart or something, it's usually like teak wood or something like that. You don't see, or some people build them in with bricks and stuff. Most of the time you don't see one like this. It's pretty cool. I mean, and y'all know how heavy those grill. I mean, the grill by itself weighs like almost 300 pounds. So it's not like I'm going to pick this thing up and run.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to plan to move it and stuff. And I was asking, like, when you ship this grill, like, how do you expect people to, well, you got to, you know, it's going to take two or three people, depending on how stout you are.
Do they ship them?
I don't know if they ship it with that cabinet, if it's going to come like that, if that was a special order. I wasn't asking all them questions. They were giving it to me. So I was just excited. You know me, it's like Christmas, man. A new grill shows up. I'm excited. So we got some footage of that. I cooked some bone-in. Would you say those? I bought them at Sam's. This was what, like, a last-minute thing.
Bone-in,
they
what?
Said they were cowboy ribeyes. So what's the difference in a cowboy ribeye and a tomahawk steak? Because if that bone sticks out, I don't know, it's 4 to 5 inches off the end of the meat. To me, that's a tomahawk.
Yeah.
So I call them tomahawks, but they said it was a cowboy ribeye, which is just a bone, big bone-in ribeye. But these things were, I don't know, probably 2.5 inches thick. They were huge.
The difference between a cowboy steak and a tomahawk steak is the length of the bone.
So where does it officially become tomahawk?
A cowboy steak is simply a tomahawk where the bone has been frenched or shortened. Both steaks are bone-in ribeyes.
There's no difference. It depends on how long your bone is, if you're a tomahawk or a cowboy. That's what it comes down to, the length of the bone.
If you're
extra long, you're a tomahawk. If you're just average, you're a cowboy.
For me, it's where it's cut, like right where the meat ends. Like that's to me a cowboy ribeye. That's what I think of in my head and what we had at Longhorn.
Yeah.
But
probably that's what I was thinking. A bone in ribeye, just with, you know, the bone right there at the end of the meat, that's always what I said was a cowboy ribeye.
Yeah.
Which is just a bone in ribeye. If it's got enough of that bone to be a handle and you can hold it like an axe, yeah, that's a tomahawk.
Yeah.
If you can tomahawk, if you can swing it like a chop, you're doing tomahawk chop.
So,
if you're having a 2-finger hold it, you're doing cap.
Yeah.
If that's just that little bit of bone, you know?
So, I'm looking at Taste Test Throwdown where they have pictures.
Yeah.
Of like the difference between all the ribeyes. And the tomahawk's really big. The cowboy's got the little 2-finger mm-hmm. hold. And then they have a cowgirl.
What's the cow girl? No bone? I would hope. It's got to be, right?
It's a cowboy.
No bone. Boneless. It's cowgirl.
It's a cowboy, but they've cut the spinalis and all that. They've basically taken the most delicious part of the steak and cut it off.
What?
And called it a girl steak.
So that, to me, that was what, when we went to a restaurant, I had to ask. I said, what is a New York ribeye? And that's what it was. They had cut the spinalis, and it was just the center cut portion of a. I was like, "Well, you just messed up a ribeye
have
there."
A filet. Yeah, yeah.
We got some folks to cancel right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so the smokehouse held 4 people plus you and Mark and Mikey.
Mark ended up having to leave. They had a massive power outage at his house, or neighborhood, or kind of area. But yeah, so we stayed, and me and Mikey went and run the coon traps and checked on our predator control stuff, and we hung out at the smokehouse, and then we got up the next morning, made breakfast, and got to filming, and I knocked out those big giant tomahawk cowboy ribeyes, and that was it.
So what'd you
cook? Went home, took a nap.
What'd you cook for dinner? To feed everyone.
We did I call it Cajun chicken pasta. But it could be called blackened chicken pasta, whatever you want to call it. But it's almost like a pastelaya. We did cheat. We used jarred Alfredo sauce.
What brand?
Is it Rose?
Rose, I think. How do you say
Rouse? Rayos?
Rayo? We say Rouse.
Rouse. Yeah. Rayos. I
always put a couple extra vowels and everything.
But you make a little Trinity, and then you saute up some smoked sausage and make a little Trinity and start building your sauce, boil your pasta side. On the side, and then go.
What pasta noodles do you go with?
The penne.
You're a fan of penne.
I like penne pasta.
Yeah,
it's the little small tube, a little bit bigger than elbow macaroni without the curve. And then fired up the Primo XL, grilled off those boneless, skinless thighs, and then chopped them up and added it all and made that pasta and served it with a salad. And it was easy. Everything bagel, a little loaf of bread, and it was delicious.
That rose. White sauce Alfredo.
Man, it's good.
I don't know if you could make one, but it's good.
I don't know if you can make one. It's cheap. By the time you have to, you got to get flour, expensive. Get cream, get the cheese, and season it up. I mean,
it's a $7-8 bottle of.
Oh, is it Alfredo sauce?
Yeah.
It's good. I like it.
Delicious.
But we did that, and then we made, you know, traditional deer camp breakfast: sausage, eggs, bacon, gravy, biscuits. Various jams and jellies. That was it. It was a quick trip, but it was cool hanging out with them, you know, kind of getting some insight on Primo and what they got coming up. They're doing some exciting stuff. You're going to see more of them this year. They've got some different ambassadors. You know, I'm one of them. We announced that. We did a little video announcing the partnership. They're, you know, they're now sponsoring our podcast, and I'm going to be doing some videos on some of their stuff.
We got one coming out next week.
I do love the oval design. I've always thought that was genius. Like, I mean, you know, there's every Komodo or ceramic style grill you've seen has been based on that kind of Weber brown grate, but adding that oval design gives you so much more cooking options. I mean, just from doing those tomahawks yesterday, you've got one side that you build your fire in, and then the other side is your safe zone. It is your reverse smoke. You know, you can choke that thing down, reverse smoke them till they get to the internal you want, take them off, rest them, open that dude up, let it get rip-roaring hot. Now that you've got that thing 600 degrees, that's a hot grill. If you've got that in a round Kamado, like just a standard, you know, say egg or anything like that, there's no safe spot. 600 is 600. But in that Primo, I've still got the heat divider there, and I've got another same amount of space over to the side, which I think, I want to say he was like 500-something inches of cooking space just on the standard rack. That's without even raising the raised rack on it. So you got a lot of cooking space. And so I'm searing these big, giant steaks, and then if they get out of hand, I mean, I wanted to fire ripping. I wanted fire flames touching them. So, you know, and I've got a place to put my bone to keep my bone. I'm not having to wrap it up in full. I'm still my handle to turn them and twist them, and it just – It was beautiful. It's hot. I ain't going to lie. It was hot, but it was a thing of beauty, that meat and sizzling and fire.
You know, this might be just my personal perspective, but for years, the Big Green Egg was like, everybody talked about it. They had Egg Fest. They had all this.
It was the Yeti at Grills.
Yeah.
You know, they had a whole following, and you had to have one. That was a status symbol.
But I feel
you went out back. Oh, you don't have an egg, you know?
Yeah.
Do you even have an outdoor kitchen, bro? You don't have an egg out here.
But now I feel like they've kind of, I mean, I don't hear as much about it.
Yeah, they're still a big thing. They're still a thing. There's still a lot of people cook on eggs.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because you can't really get rid of them or move them or do anything with them.
Stuck with them for life.
Yeah, you're stuck with them for life.
I still have one. It's at the house.
Yeah, I was going to say, where is it?
It's at the house.
I think you're starting to run out of room again.
No, man. Never. You're talking about smokehouse number two. I need to start some new plants.
St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
It's coming up. I don't really have any plans for it. Do you?
Do you normally make plans for St. Patrick's Day?
It's been a lot of years since I've got to make Santa. I think you age out of St. Patrick's Day.
I think so too.
You know, that's a young man and young woman's game. There's only, you know, I don't know if I can do a pub crawl anymore. My idea of St. Patrick's Day now, just give me a pint of Guinness and let me just eat something that's, you know, really, really good. Like, you know, some pastrami or corned beef and potatoes and carrots or a Reuben sandwich or something like that.
Ooh, a Reuben.
That sounds good.
So I pulled up some of your, because right now in the grocery store, there's the corned beefs everywhere. So I pulled up a couple of your corned beef recipes. I want to talk to you about them.
I'm ready. I love corned beef, but you got to watch it. Some of that stuff's so salty. You got to wash and wash and wash it.
So one of the recipes, you just pulled the corned beef and smoked it.
Yeah. And it makes...
Seasoned it and smoked
it. It makes pastrami that way. You can do the flat or the point. That's usually how you... You know what? Why but do you never see the...
It. You didn't soak it?
This was rookie now. You're talking... You must be talking years ago.
It was very old, this must have been one
of the first ones I did. Did I do it pot roast style, or did I do it like slicing it up for pastrami to make sandwiches?
So you took a corned beef brisket, you took it straight out of the package, dried it off, seasoned it heavy with, you know,
coriander, black pepper. I probably didn't use much salt, I bet.
And then you smoked it at 250 for 2 hours, added it to a pan, added water to it, covered it, and let it go. And in your video, because I just watched it, you were very young. It says the water will draw out the salty brine in that cook.
Look at
me. So you were drawing it out during the cooking process.
I cooked it out into the liquid, didn't I?
And then you threw in like some root vegetables, potatoes, onions.
That might be one I need to revisit and see how it turns out.
Yeah. Because I don't remember how it turned out either.
But I cooked it with vegetables. I cooked it more. That was like the way my mama cooked them. My mama would do those, except she wouldn't do it on a smoker. She would get the corned beef and she would cook it in the oven like that. And that's not pastrami. It's just cooked corned beef. You know, it's good. It's really good like that. I mean, is it a little saltier? Probably, because I didn't soak it out.
Yeah. You also cooked it with a smoked cabbage, and you've done that several times
before. I love smoked cabbage. Cut that core out, pack it full of seasoned butter, and just let it sit on that smoker, core up to where it just cooks down in the cat. You cook the cabbage till it's just perfectly tender.
It takes like 2 hours.
But I like cabbage. It's, you know, it's a good vegetable to me.
If it's cooked right, yeah.
I like it raw on coleslaw.
That's true.
I'll eat straight cabbage. Give me some blue plate.
Blue plate does make really great coleslaw.
It's the creamiest. Real mayonnaise, quality since 1927. But you know the secret to making a good coleslaw?
What is it?
You don't have. You can even buy the bag stuff. That doesn't matter. To me, it's not having to shred up your own cabbage. It's making. It's taking your blue plate, taking whatever seasonings you want to put in it. You're going to need a little sugar because coleslaw is supposed to be a little sweet. You're going to add a little acidity, thin it down a little bit with a little vinegar. So you're basically making a blue plate vinaigrette for coleslaw. Coleslaw dressing, if you will. A lot of black pepper. I love it in my coleslaw.
Salt. It needs salt too.
A little salt. And then mix that with whatever. If you want to shred up your own cabbage, fine. If you want to use the bag stuff, fine. But mix that dressing up, and that way you don't dump all that dressing in there at one time either. I usually do half and start mixing and see how it looks. Because for some reason, you can get it too much coleslaw dressing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's watery. It's not good.
Well, that cabbage starts breaking down.
Well, it's going to pull moisture out of that cabbage. And that's why I'll save some dressing. And that way I can fold it back in. But then it needs time to set too. So you want that coleslaw. Mix it up. Mix your wets all together. Make your slaw dressing. Then fold half of that in your slaw. See if you need more. Let it rest a little bit. See how much water's pulling out. Fold the rest in if you need it. But don't get it too runny. You don't want watery coleslaw.
Well, like, I'm going to make a coleslaw to take with us camping this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's our version of camping. We're going to stay in a cabin, but in the woods.
It's camping.
But I'm going to take dry slaw, and I'm going to take a dressing that I've already made. So when I get there, I can just, when it's, you know, a couple hours before it's time to serve, I can, you know,
mix
them together. It's no cooking, no prep, nothing. I just dump it, toss it, let it sit for a couple hours. That way it doesn't get too mushy because I didn't, you know, mix it too soon. It's easy to do.
Do you vacuum seal your coleslaw, or you just take it in the bag?
Just taking the bag.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was going to be gone for a long time.
The good thing to do is like put your coleslaw in the bag and then either put your slaw dressing in another bag or something and mm-hmm. drop it in the same bag. That way you got a mixing bag and you just dump and go to it. And you don't have to mess up no dishes, nothing.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Anyway.
But when you're looking for mayo to make your coleslaws, look for blue plate. You can find it at most groceries in the South.
Best mayo on the planet.
Yeah.
Now we'll talk about smoked pastrami.
I like some pastrami. Now, Reuben sandwich with a good sauerkraut and some cheese and then some, it's pretty much Thousand Island.
Yeah.
I don't know what dressing they consider. They consider it like Russian or something. What do they consider Reuben dressing?
I mean, most menus that I've seen just say Thousand Island.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But that's what it's like. It's like a mayonnaise ketchup. Little pickle relish. It's almost like a remoulade.
Yeah.
Without the, you know,
kinda,
without the Cajun spices.
Does it have like a horseradishy?
Thousand Island doesn't have mustard, I don't think. Most remoulades you see use a Dijon or a spicy mustard of some sorts. It's more ketchup and
mayonnaise, and sweet mayonnaise. Pickles.
Yeah.
So, you're
when's the last time you ordered that on a salad?
Thousand Island? Not since I was a kid.
Man, me either. That used to be
Shawnee's Buffet.
Just get a Thousand Island salad.
It was mostly Thousand Island and cheese, too.
I want you to come back next week and give me a Thousand Island report. Where'd that come from? Who came up with calling it? Where's these 1,000 islands at?
What does it consist of? Yeah.
Are the people there, like, they love salads? I want to know. But a Reuben sandwich, good old pastrami with sauerkraut and cheese and toasted up and with that dressing on it, it's hard to beat.
So this recipe, you actually bought the corned beef brisket. And you soaked it for 12 hours, mm-hmm. changing the water every 4 hours.
Draw out the salt. That's my whole premise of that.
So is a corned beef brisket?
Corning is, it's almost like brining. It's what you're changing the texture of the meat, and it is soaking up a lot of that flavor, but it's usually like a salty, briny solution. I've done some where I took a whole brisket
and did that one.
To turn it into corned beef, and that's all it is. It's just. It's been brined for usually about a week. So usually about how long it takes.
And
you just soak it in the solution.
But it's actually a brisket.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a beef brisket that's been soaked. It's not, you know, it's not another cut. It's been, the brisket's been turned into corned beef. And I guess you could corn any cut of beef if you wanted to. I've seen them do short ribs or the, you know, beef ribs, make pastrami ribs that Little Miss Barbecue does that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so you could do probably any kind of cut of beef, but most typically you see it done with brisket.
So why do they sell them so much this time of year? Like, is it just the St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, I think it's
just an Irish one of those thing.
Like
yeah.
Turkeys at Thanksgiving kind of thing. It's a thing.
So, but you bought a corned beef brisket, you soaked it, you dried it, you added a pastrami rub.
And that's like, when I think pastrami rub, it's heavy black pepper and some coriander.
So what's coriander?
It's the seed that makes cilantro.
Okay. I love cilantro.
I know. Would you have known? Did you put those two together?
Mm-mm.
That's what it is. But it's just, it goes with it for some reason. And, you know, you put some other spices, but that's pretty much all it is. It's nothing. And you put some garlic, some onion, stuff like that.
Do you stay away from the salt a lot?
Yeah, you don't need it because you're trying to, I mean, that meat's real salty. So you really don't need a salty corned beef rub or seasoning, you know, or pastrami seasoning. It doesn't have to have a lot of salt. You can put some if you want to, but you're trying to get the salt out of it. You don't want it to where it's so salty it burns when you eat it. I've had stuff like that.
Yeah. But you smoked it to 165 and then you added it to a pan with beef broth until it was over 200.
So typically what they would do is pressure it. When they make like corned beef, it's pressure cooked. But I've seen them do pastrami like that. It's like smoked, and then you could put it in the pressure cooker and finish it to get it that light texture. But I just took it up in I let the steam and some of that, you know, the broth, that liquid that was in there, create that steam to get it tender, and you take it up to where it's all about texture at that point.
I do remember eating that sandwich that you made with that, and it was...
I put it on a slicer, think. That was like, did I tear my little slicer up doing that one? I had a little cheap slicer from like Harbor Freight.
No, it was Aldi.
Was it Aldi where I got that slicer from? And I sliced that corned beef up on it and tore that slicer up. That's been a long time. That was that Yellow Kitchen days. That's been a long time ago too.
No, it's when we first moved into our
house now.
Yeah, our house now. And then you took a brisket and brined it for 5 nights and did that yourself. And on the 6th day, you dried it, seasoned it.
Pastrami'd it.
Pastrami'd it.
So that was just, I corned it by doing that long brine and then took it out and made my own. That was probably the best.
You think so? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. That was a good one.
I don't remember that one.
I just remember soaking it for so long and going in and checking on it.
I do remember that.
Because you got to turn it. You want to make sure it's getting even soak. So I would go in there and turn it every day.
I do remember that because that was back when we were competing hot and heavy.
Yeah.
And it was just the meat, the refrigerator was just full of
meat. Slap full.
Yes.
And I got a big container with a brisket soaking. Yeah. That takes up a lot of space.
It does.
But I did a whole one. It wasn't just a flat. It was the whole brisket.
You trimmed it down, you know, got the fat off and the stuff, but.
I like the flat better for slicing if I know I'm going to make sandwiches, but the point's probably better just to eat, like if you're going to cook it for like eating like a roast, like a pastrami roast or a corned beef roast.
So, did you see where the Blackstone has a pellet grill now?
I saw it on TikTok or somewhere.
Yeah, I saw it on TikTok.
I didn't look into it any. Is it a combo?
Yes, like, it's a combo.
Split, like a 50-50 pellet grill with
it's more like 75-25 from the pit. I just looked at pictures of it. It's like
how big is the flat top? Is it a?
It's a small flat top.
Oh, it's like the little 20-inch or something, like the little portable one.
It's kind of deep, but it's.
I can see putting that on the side of a pellet grill.
I saw it. What I saw, she said it was a Lowe's exclusive.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like over $1,000.
Yeah. That's about right. Yeah. I mean, small pellet grill and a small Blackstone would probably run you $1,000.
But everybody's getting into the pellet grill market now.
Yeah, it's hot. What's next? What's the next market?
I don't know.
It's probably, you think it's going to be air frying grills? I mean, because, you know, they're already trying to do some of that with the air frying stuff. Like Ninja, didn't Ninja do a little grill that added pellet smoke? Now, so GE has a new one coming out. It's an indoor smoker. It's revolutionary. I don't know much about it. I've heard a little bit about it.
What'd you hear?
I mean, it
does. GE's coming out.
Yeah, and it's expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be cool.
What's the footprint of it, like the size of it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Like size of your oven or what, or its countertop? I don't know.
Oh, is it something that's going to like...
It goes inside. And it contains the smoke. So your kitchen's not going to get smoky, but it's actually, I guess, I don't know if it's burning pellets or you add wood chips or what. That's another topic we can look into and talk about next week.
Yes.
But you know how they've always got to come up with the latest and greatest.
Yeah. Though? For a long time, I was like, I thought air fryer was just a fad.
It took me a while to come around to the air fryer till I really started using it and playing with it. And I was like, man, this thing's pretty cool. It's fast. Does some good stuff.
Oh, it makes great French fries.
And nuggies.
Chicken nuggies.
I've done chicken wings like bone-in in it, and you can do them. They're not as good as doing them on the grill or pellet grill or frying them.
You do salmon in it. Like
salmon's, I make better salmon on the air fryer than I do anything. And it's fast.
I even ate that, and I'm not a huge seafood guy.
It's really good. What I really like to do is my little chicken wraps. I'll make up my meal prepping chicken wraps with my cottage cheese and the hot sauce and stuff, and then put that in a tortilla shell like a burrito and set it in the air fryer, and it gets it all crispy and hot. And it makes, that's a good little treat or meal.
I like doing vegetables in it.
It does great for vegetables.
Brussels sprouts in there.
I even did some pork rinds in it.
Yeah.
And I may have messed ours up. I don't know. Because I didn't know how many to do. I was playing with it. And somebody told me, my buddy Charles told me you could cook dehydrated pork rinds in an air fryer. And I said, no way. And it works. Are they better than fried?
No.
No. But can you cook some if you just need a snack real quick in about 4 minutes? Yeah, absolutely.
What I want to know is why you tried to experiment with this at 10 o'clock on like a Thursday night.
Because it intrigued me.
That's the best time.
Yeah. When else?
It was like I was in bed and I'm like, something's burning. What happened?
Something put too many pork rinds in there and they popped and they got caught up in the little air fryer element at the top and it started fire.
It burned the crap out of them.
Scrape all that out of there. Ruin Shell's chicken nugget cooker.
So I got a couple questions for you from the community.
Let's go.
This one's pretty simple, straightforward. I'm looking for a metal garbage can to dump my charcoal ashes in after my tailgate.
Tractor Supply. They've got various sizes. Or your local hardware store.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know what size. I think they sell them by the gallon. Isn't it like a 1.5 or a 2.5? Or it's just gallon sizes, but usually they're over in the hardware section of any store that has hardware.
It's just a galvanized tub.
Galvanized metal. Yeah, metal pail.
What do they market it for? Is it ash bucket?
Yeah, I don't know. Slopping hogs. Whatever you want it, you know? I forget the name of the brand. There's one brand that stands out. I looked at getting some, like, printed with like how to barbecue right on them, fire buckets or whatever, but it wasn't economically feasible. Thought it'd be cool, but.
And it would have been.
Yeah. But. They make all kinds. I mean, they make some, like, you can find fireplace buckets that are made for ash. Like, they come with a little shovel and it's a little black pail and a bucket. I personally like the galvanized one because it has a lid, but that's what I use them for.
I bet they charge more for the fireplace buckets.
Probably too. So. It's not as thick a metal either. Those things last. I mean, they last forever.
Oh, yeah. You've hauled one around on your barbecue trailer.
Yeah. Especially if you dump it. Don't just leave ashes sitting in it all the time. But you can find them. I would go Tractor Supply is usually where I get them. They got four or five different, you know, all different sizes, all the way up to like garbage can size, like the wrestlers used to bash over each other. Yeah. I thought about bringing one of them on the barbecue rig just so we could wrestle. You need a folding chair and a garbage can. You got some entertainment, man.
We always have a folding chair.
Yeah. Table. That's it.
Do you remember?
Table, letter, chair match.
Do you remember? So when you cook competition barbecues, you go to a lot of little towns, to their local fairs, their local carnivals, whatever. It's a lot of that. So we were at one. It was just a small town.
Ashland, Mississippi.
That's what I'm thinking about. Mississippi. We're setting up with our barbecue trailer, and they are setting up midget wrestling. And that was the most entertaining thing I've watched.
It was great. They had one set of bathrooms over there. They had good guys and bad guys, and I'd had to go to the bathroom. They were all in there hanging out, drinking beer and stuff before the wrestling match. They were all buddies. And when they started up wrestling that night, we was like, we got to watch this. And they let, man, this one little dude, he let him whoop everybody. Full-grown men, like he took them all out. You don't want to mess with them.
They put on a good show. Heck, like, they got into it.
Man, I've been a wrestling fan. Since I can remember.
I know they've done a few around here at some point because I've seen it I've seen it on Facebook or something, and I've always wanted to go, and I never have.
Memphis is a big wrestling You know, all these little towns, they'd always be at the Armory or the JC building.
Yeah. And they'd have all these little carnivals set up and a flea market and a couple little vendors.
Did y'all not watch Saturday Morning Wrestling growing up?
Yeah. My brothers did. Yeah.
Tyler, did you watch?
Not really.
It was WWF or it was probably WWE since you've been around.
Yeah. Yeah. WWE was the thing. I wasn't super into it as a kid, though.
I mean, back in the day, it was very low quality production. You know what I mean? Like it was.
You talk about wrestling.
Can
we take this stuff serious.
It's very regional. It was very regional. Very like low quality production.
Jerry the King Lawler had some of the best. He had even a Sunday show. Like he had his own talk show on Sundays.
Oh, so you'd watch him fight on Saturday morning?
He had a softball too. I'd go watch him play softball too. Lawler's Army. I know people out there remember that Jerry Lawler softball team, competitive softball. People around
was it
here
co-ed or was it?
Yeah, it was a co-ed team.
Okay, so Tom needs some advice. He has some beef chuck blade steaks. He's wondering they're about a quarter to a half inch thick. Does he sear them slow and cook them like a chuck roast or cook them hot and fast like a thin steak?
I don't know if I've ever like grilled blade steaks. I've seen them, what they've done.
What are blade steaks?
It's chuck roast. They've cut into steaks. Okay. There's going to be, the problem is there's going to be portions of it that probably would cook tender if you grilled it hot and fast. But most of it's going to be, most of the time there's different muscle groups in there the way they probably cut it. So it would do better to breaking down. That's a tough one, man. I've never cooked those. I would think, it, depending on how thick they are, if they're thinner, yeah, you could grill them and probably eat them. It would be a lot like eating those flanking ribs. You know how we
That's
do them kind of Asian
thinking,
style,
yes.
And you can grill them hot and fast. And yeah, they're a little tighter. They're not melting your mouth like a steak, but it's delicious.
But if you get that good caramelization, Asian-y flavors on the outside, it's worth the gnawing.
It is. Those are good. But you could what I've seen people do with them too, like if you want to cook them and sear them, get them to your desired doneness and then cover them up and let them sit in full and let them just kind of carry over a little bit. They'll get a little more tender that way too, by sitting and resting a little bit. But it's not the most quality cut of steak that you think of cooking hot and fast. Like it's not going to be as good as a ribeye or a filet or strip or something like that.
Under the,
but you could do it. You could try it.
If you were going to break it down.
Let me know how they, I want to know how Tom, is it Tom?
Yeah.
How he cooks them and then how they turned out and try them both ways. Maybe I'll look for some blade steaks when I go to the store and see what I can find. That'd be a good something to try out.
That'd be a good experiment. If you were going to do them like to break them down kind of, what flavors, what direction, how would you do that?
I mean, you could do it any way. I'd do it like a brisket kind of. I mean, season it like you would a steak or like you would any kind of beef, your favorite seasonings. When you get the caramelized on it, you know, you get it brown good on the outside on the smoker over some coals, however you want to do that, and then put it in a pan, put your little beef broth in there or whatever you want and wrap it up tight or put a lid on it and then stick it back in there and just cook them to their tender and then check them that way. They'd be really good that way. Then you could all, if you depending on how far you took them, you could take them back out and sear them again real fast or something like that.
Get a little caramelization on that.
You definitely want to get some color on at the front end, get them tender, and then caramelize them at the end. So. Char grill them a little bit.
If you do it that route,
that'd be a good way to do them. Almost like a pork steak. Think of how we do a pork steak.
Yeah,
it's not the best cooked hot and fast like a pork chop because it does have more connective tissue. It's harder working muscles, so they're naturally not as tender. But when you cook them and you get a little color on them at the front, you break them down and then you sauce them and glaze, you know, char them up at the end. They do get melted in your mouth tender, and it's a really good bite.
And so they're really good.
So I think you could treat it a lot like that.
And there's the little bones in pork steaks.
Yeah.
So you can't really pound them out very well. Same thing with, I imagine, the blade steak.
Yeah. You could tenderize it a little bit if you wanted to. You could jacquard it. If you want to try to get a little more tender, you could salt it and let it sit a little bit like we do steaks sometimes. You know, let it start working on drawing some moisture out and some flavor in.
I like your idea of the pork steak.
If you think about it,
with
a chuck blade steak is a shoulder steak. Well, a pork steak is a shoulder steak. So you could cook them similar like that.
Yeah. Color, break it down, finish with the caramelization at the end. Yeah. So James was asking, he was thinking about food for his son's fifth birthday. They're going to have about 35 people at their house.
Nuggies. Five nuggies. Tendies and nuggies. I would bet it would be a big hit. Dinosaur shape, you get more points. Am I wrong, Tyler? You got a kid about that age, right?
They six. Love it.
Imagine this is
he wants the adult food. Yeah. Okay.
He's thinking about a variety of sliders, but wondering how you can prep them ahead.
Oh, those prep great ahead.
I think so too.
They're even better, especially if you put a little of that melted butter over the top and you give it time to soak in. The original recipe where I think it was your grandma where I had them first years ago, that was how they always did it. That recipe said melt your butter and let these things sit in the refrigerator overnight to cook the next day.
You're talking about Hawaiian roll sliders.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what he's talking about slider-wise?
I thought he was talking about just like, you know, mini buns.
Oh, okay.
But either way.
Yeah. I would do, I mean, those are just the standard old ham and cheese one. But so you could do, like, it don't have to be Hawaiian rolls. It could be dinner rolls. And you do them the same way and then put the melted butter over them. Assemble them. You could do pizza ones. You could do the ham and cheese. You could do
bacon ranch chicken ones. Yeah.
And every single one of those that once I got them assembled and ready to go, those could all go in the fridge and set overnight, no problem.
And then
we've even froze them and then brought them out and let them thaw and then cook them and they're good.
Yeah. My mom freezes them all the time.
She usually brings a pan every time she comes that's been froze and they do fine. So any kind of little slider like that, that's a good choice. Kids love that too.
Mm-hmm. And you can cut them really easy and serve them. And you could just pop them in the oven. You don't have to smoke it or anything. You assemble it the night before, let it sit overnight.
I just had an idea. This would be my kids' birthday special sliders. It'd be chicken nuggets with cheese. Don't you think that would be awesome? Kids would love those, wouldn't they? Yeah. It's nuggy sandwiches.
What do your kids dip their nuggets in?
So one of my kids hates sauce, and I don't trust him. And then the other one, anything except for mustard, ketchup, ranch, mayonnaise, anything like that.
Honey mustard. Yeah, that's what I would do. Honey mustard,
cheese dip, and he's on to something with cheese that one. Dip. Chicken nuggets and cheese dip.
Yeah. Dude, that would be an epic little kid sandwich.
That might be a good TikTok recipe for you. No, Michael, my kid, he doesn't like fat, meat, you know, mm-hmm. any fat attached to his meat. And I'm like, are we related?
As a kid, I didn't want to eat. I only wanted sirloin steaks or strip steaks.
Yeah.
And I didn't get them very often because I was a kid. But my parents would get ribeye and they're like, you want something to steak? I was like, no, it's got all that fat on it. And I didn't like it. I didn't like turnip greens either, though. But now that's, you know, two of my favorite things, ribeye steaks and turnip greens.
I did say something to him. I was like, why don't you like anything? He goes, I'm not 35, Mom.
Like that's old.
Yeah, I know. That's when you start liking coffee.
Man, do you remember when you thought 30 was old?
Yeah.
I mean, man, they're 30.
I felt like I was getting old this week. I don't know.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Tyler. Was it yesterday?
I'm 27. It was March 5th. And I don't know. This was the first birthday because I think until you get to you're about 25 years old, you have something to be excited about when you turn 25. The only thing I can't do yet is run for office officially.
You got to be 28?
I'm
office. So, I think president, you got to be 28, right?
I thought it was 35.
I think.
Shows you how much civics I know.
That's literally the only thing that you have to look forward to after you turn 25. And so this was probably the first birthday. I was like, all right.
27 was a good year for me. That's the year I met Shell.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's when your whole life turned around.
Whole life.
Did you see our friend Luke? He posted a photo of a carne asada corn dip.
Yes. He said it's the fifth time. I saw that. It's like the fifth time he's made it or something. And it gets devoured every time. I want that.
I want that recipe.
Yeah.
It looked like all my favorite things. It had cilantro and cheese and
meat,
and
corn,
and chips. Yeah.
Yeah. That looked really good.
So that's my next thing. That's all I have from the community.
What else has been, is there anything going on with the community right now, Tyler, that
I actually have to talk about this in our meeting today, but yeah, we're going to probably do a giveaway starting on Friday is the hopes of that. So you guys make sure to head on over to facebook.com/groups/H2Q community, join it up and look for a post at the top pinned on Friday.
We got to give something away. It's time, man.
Yeah.
Springtime. Easter. It's time. Yeah.
It's time to give away grill cleaning stuff.
Uh-huh.
Grill cleaning stuff.
So
about time to do a grill giveaway. Maybe we'll do one of those.
Okay.
Well, we hadn't done one in a minute. I gotta plan it out and how to do it. It sucks doing stuff on Facebook because somebody's gonna fake account, somebody's gonna put up all this stuff. They see you're doing something, they're gonna piggyback off of it to try to steal people's info. So,
and I hate when people say
the way to do it.
You know, so you messaged me from this. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
That was a
we didn't account. Message nobody. I mean, we'll talk so about bad. It here on the podcast. Yeah. But
if we do, we'll figure it out. Not ask for your personal information.
Yeah,
that's why we not
credit. There's a good question to put out in the community. What kind of grill would you like to see us give within reason? Like, I can't give away, you know, $10,000 grill. I ain't got that kind of money.
What's that one grill that I pulled up that was like the most expensive grill?
Oh, it was something crazy.
It was like 30 grand. Yeah.
No, it's got to be within something reason.
I did see a TikTok the other day that I really liked. It was a guy, and he tells his wife, "Baby, I'm grilling today. I'm gonna do it all. You just do nothing. You just sit there and relax."
That's what I tell you.
And then it's like 60 seconds later. "Hey, baby, can you find that spatula?" A couple minutes later.
That's what I tell you.
"Where's that salt and pepper shaker? Hey, can you bring me the cheese?
What side you making?"
That was his,
"I'll get the dishes later." We should rephrase that. "Baby, we're grilling today." That's how I'm going to start doing it. "Get ready. Go ahead. Get limbered up. Go over and stretch. Grilling today. It'll be a lot of work."
At least you set the expectation.
Yeah, set the expectation. This is going to be, but I'm telling you, the payoff's going to be worth it.
It usually is.
It usually is. If I start off telling you to kick back, you know something's not going to go.
I don't know if you've ever done that.
Just take it easy today. Kick back. It's Shell Day. I do tell you it's Shell Day. I celebrate Shell Day all the time. Those are some of the best days.
What is Shell Day?
A day where we do everything Shell likes to do. Never turns out that way, does it?
No. Say Ashley Day is when we go out and eat somewhere. No dishes, no meh.
That's what I was figuring. Shell Day is either one or two days. We're either going out boozing and eating.
That's your favorite things. Or, I know how to throw a Shell Day. Or just so happens.
Or we're staying in the bed and watching TV, eating snacks.
Lifetime. Those are the worst. Lifetime days.
When have I ever watched Lifetime?
What's some man doing women wrong movie?
I do like those. I'm not Lifetime. I do like my reality TV, though.
I leave the house on Dashian Day. If we're fixing to watch the whole season of Kardashians, I can't make it through 10 minutes of that show.
I save that for when you go deer hunting.
Yeah, it's a great time for that, deer season. That's when they should drop all the new stuff like that, the fall.
So you ready to go have a Shell Day?
We are. I'm ready.
It's spring break this week, so.
It doesn't even seem like it.
I know.
They have pushed spring break. Pretty much it's going to start Valentine's Day from now on, the way they've got it. I don't know why spring break has to be so early. It's not spring yet. Just because we've got some trees early blooming and the weeds are growing doesn't mean we're still not going to get cold weather. The weather's going to suck spring break.
But we're going fishing. We're taking
some fishing poles. Whether we get to go or not. Yeah.
Camping.
Yeah. We'll start a fire.
We're going to be cooking.
We're going to cook some stuff. Yeah.
We're going to bring our food in the cooler. So that's kind of
the unfortunate thing about it is they're doing a chili contest at the shop this weekend, and I'm not going to be there because they scheduled it on spring break when we had a trip planned. We've got to go to Arkansas.
But I think it'll be a good little contest. I think we got 9 or 10 teams.
Yeah, it's a local deal. So this is like if you're within driving distance of the shop, you know, and you want to cook a chili contest, they still got some spots open.
There's trophies, there's awards, and we're doing a people's choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you come out, you can just come out and try chili because they're doing a vote on it and they're going to be giving out samples. I don't even think it costs anything, does it?
Nope. That's why I'm going to be here.
No.
Are you coming, Tyler?
Yes. Yeah. That's why I'm going to be there. I'm going to come try all the chili and try to pick a winner. Cause...
So you're at least going to get to try 10 different chilies because Mikey's going to be out front doing a chili demo, how to cook chili. And then they're going to have teams set up out there, and we're giving them all sample cups and little, you know, stuff to give everybody a sample tasting. There's one you like, keep going back to it. I don't think they're going to tell you no, but it's going to be the weather's supposed to be pretty decent here, I think, Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to be like hot. It's going to be like 60, 58, 60.
I mean, you want it sunny. Little chilly.
It's got to be for chilly weather. Maybe they dialed that up. But yeah, so there's a chili contest at the shop. It probably starts around 11 or 12, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen the time.
I think the People's Choice is a little 11:30 to 1.
Yeah.
So they'll be passing out samples from that time and you vote.
If you want to sign up, go ahead and let them know at the shop. They've got a Malcolm Shop Facebook page.
I think that the sign-offs are cut out.
They're cut out. I would take a last minute. If I was here, I would take a last minute.
I think they would too.
They would too.
So,
as long as it's not too much, but yeah.
Come check it out.
And yeah.
Is there various categories in that chili contest or just one chili?
I think it's
to rule them all.
One chili to rule them off and then people's choice.
It's like they knew you were going out of town, so you wouldn't enter it and cook the white chicken chili.
I was going to ask, do they have rules?
I don't know if they set that as a ground rule or not. I don't think they did.
The no white chicken chili contest.
Didn't learn their lesson from the first time, so. This episode don't come out till Friday, so nobody has time to plan that anyways. But yeah.
You really should have did like traditional red chili and then anything exotic goes chili. Yeah. It could be green chili, white chili, whatever. That'd be pretty cool.
I'd be here for that one.
What, the exotic?
Anything goes. Yeah, like that's the best kinds
of
chilies.
Maybe next year we'll do another chili contest and we'll make sure we keep our weekend open so we can be here.
Yeah.
And we can do a couple different chilies.
Can I enter?
Yeah.
I feel like that would be fishy if I won.
Maybe, I don't know.
And you know that chili.
Maybe you enter as an alias. You don't tell him.
I wear a mustache all day.
Yeah, we'll get you one of those luchador masks. That's how they would always do with them wrestlers back in the day when they had the loser leave town mask or match, they'd leave town, but they'd be back in the be the mask. Yeah.
I like different how that came full circle. Yeah.
Brought it right back to wrestling. That's
way back.
No, but so the chili contest this weekend. We'll be back next week.
Yep.
During spring break.
Tell you about our camping trip.
Yeah. Hopefully we caught some fish and we cooked them up.
We should be able to. I mean, the trout are always biting.
I'm not a big fan of eating trout.
Not the best fish.
It's so difficult.
Put that out there. They're fun to catch.
Yeah. But you got to like.
A lot of little bones.
Through, yeah. You got to pick through it. It's not the best.
Even fry. Like, oh, I got the best trout recipe. Do you? Do you? Have you ever had really good fried fish?
I know.
Mississippi.
Let me show you some catfish.
Some crappie. Even some bass. I mean, I'll cook some bass.
But, Malk, that's all I have for you today.
All right. Well, Tyler's or anything, you know, people can find us on the community. What else?
Yeah, just make sure y'all go check out the community over on Facebook and share your recipes. Like I said, all the questions Shell got from here today came from the community where y'all can ask them, and we're going to have that giveaway over there as well. So,
all right, where can they find us?
If you'd like to connect with Malcolm, it's How to BBQ Right on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and of course YouTube. If you'd like to connect with me, it's Miss Southern Shell on Instagram and TikTok.
All right. Well, we appreciate y'all tuning in today. We will be back next week for another episode of the How to BBQ Right podcast. We're gone.